Chapter 1. The Beginning of Frankenstein's Story. Letter written by Captain Robert Walton to Mrs. Margaret Saville in England. My dear sister, we have been making good progress on our journey. However, on Monday, our ship became stuck in the ice and it was far too dangerous to continue. So we had no choice but to wait for the weather to improve. I must, however, tell you of a strange event which happened a few days ago. We discovered a man floating on a piece of ice. He had a sledge, but all of his dogs had died. He asked us where we were sailing to, and when we told him we were heading for the North Pole, he immediately boarded the ship. He looked very ill, and I could see that he had suffered a lot. We gave him dry clothes and some hot soup. After, he slept for a long time. When he had recovered a little, our guest asked me if he could join us on our voyage to the North Pole. He doesn't say much, but it seems that he is searching for someone. I did not want to ask him too many questions, but as his time with us continued, we became friends. I must say that I like him very much. I told him how I had been travelling in search of the North Pole for 6 years and how passionate I was at completing my quest. "You look for things in the same way I once did," he told me. "But for me, there is no hope left. I have one more thing to do, and then I may be able to find some small amount of peace." The next day, he began to tell me his story. He believes that others should be able to learn from it. I have begun to write down every detail, exactly as he told me. When it is finished, I will send it to you, dear sister. I think you will find it interesting and terrifying. Your brother, Robert. My name is Victor Frankenstein. I grew up in Geneva, Switzerland, where I enjoyed a pleasant and happy childhood. My parents travelled a lot, and whenever they went away, I went with them. Whilst travelling with my father near Lake Como in Italy, my mother visited a poor family on a farm. The people who owned the farm had 5 children. 4 of them had blonde hair, like the man and the woman, while 1 child had rich, dark hair. When my mother asked why, the wife of the farmer explained that the girl's name was Elizabeth and that her father had been a wealthy man from Milan, but that her mother had died in childbirth. Her father had disappeared after he had fought to free Italy from the Austrians, and so, since then, Elizabeth had been in the care of the farmer and his wife. My mother had always wanted a daughter, and so she came to an agreement with the couple to raise Elizabeth as her own. From that moment on, I was blissfully happy, and Elizabeth became closer to me than any real sister could have. It was maybe because we were complete opposites that we were so close. Elizabeth was very calm and placid. She enjoyed poetry and the scenery around our home in Switzerland, whilst to me, the world was one filled with secrets and questions to which I was always desperate to find the answers. Soon after, my parents had another son, Ernest, who was 7 years younger than me, and later another boy, who was called William. At that point, we settled in Geneva, and my parents stopped travelling. We also had a house in Bellerive, on the other side of the lake, and it was there that I spent a great part of my childhood. Bellerive was a quiet and relaxing place, far from the noise of the city, as it was located on the eastern side of the lake. Although I did not usually enjoy the company of other people, I became friends with a boy called Henry Clerval. Henry was obsessed with adventure and the heroic tales of knights, chivalry, and bravery. Together we passed a very happy childhood, and whenever I visited the families of other children, I was always aware of how well we were treated by my parents and how much freedom they gave us. Still, I was not like other children. I did not enjoy the type of games that others my age did. I was obsessed by science, and although I was often a very angry and passionate young boy, I never became upset with those that I loved. Instead, I worked harder still on discovering the rich world of science. Elizabeth's love shone throughout my early years. Her beauty and her kindness enchanted everyone who came into contact with her, whilst her smile and even temper brought a happiness into our lives that none of us would have ever dreamed possible. When I was 15, I witnessed a terrible and violent thunderstorm outside our house in Bellerive. I watched in awe the power of the storm from the doorway of our house. I felt a mixture of curiosity and delight. Suddenly, there was a flash of lightning which struck a large oak tree in the garden, completely destroying it except for the remains of a small stump. After witnessing the immense power of nature, I was determined to spend the rest of my life learning even more about its mysteries and its many different sciences. Maybe my destiny had been decided from that very moment, but I was not aware of it. Instead, I threw myself into my studies with more enthusiasm and vigor than before. When I was 17, my parents decided that it would be best for me to continue my studies in Ingolstadt, as my father believed that my education would be greatly improved by experiencing life in a different country. However, prior to my leaving, Elizabeth became very ill, and we believed that she was in great danger. My mother spent almost every hour at Elizabeth's bedside, willing her to survive. Eventually, Elizabeth recovered, but my mother had caught the infection while she had tended to her, and she soon became terribly sick. After the third day of her illness, we realized that she would not survive. As she lay on her deathbed, she joined Elizabeth's and my hands. "I will not be with you much longer," she said, "but my one wish has been that you too should marry. It will be a consolation to your father after I am gone. Elizabeth, I am sorry, but it is now left to you to look after the younger children and take my place as the woman of the house. I hope that I will see you all in the next world." When my mother died, there was a pain in all of our hearts, and although she suffered a great sadness, Elizabeth performed her duties to the rest of the family with a great deal of love and kindness. Eventually, the day arrived on which I was to leave for Ingolstadt. Both Elizabeth and Henry were there to wish me well on my journey. Henry had spent the previous evening with our family, and he had greatly wanted to accompany me as a fellow student, but his father had forbidden it. It was therefore with a great feeling of sadness that my father, Henry, and Elizabeth said goodbye to me as I started my journey towards the university and a new, terrible chapter in my life. The first professor I met at Ingolstadt was Mr. Kremper, who was not very pleasant at all. However, I was greatly impressed by his colleague, Mr. Waldmann, who inspired in me a further belief that I, Victor Frankenstein, could change the world through science. Mr. Waldmann encouraged me to forget a lot of what I had learned before my arrival, and told me that it was important to study all of the sciences, although the most important of all was chemistry. Chemistry is developing very quickly, he told me, but only a fool would ignore the world of mathematics and philosophy. He took me to his laboratory, where he showed me various machines and experiments. He then gave me a list of books to read. It was a very busy day, but it was also a day which would decide my destiny.